Well, welcome to another Edie with Zion's Trumpet. Yours truly, Brother Daniel. How's everybody doing this week out there in Pal Talk land? Good, good. Just doing good. Everybody's doing good. Amen. Good. Praise the Lord. Anybody have anything on their heart to share? What's the Lord doing in your life? Anything you want to share anything before we start tonight? Jenna Ray. Go ahead, Jenna Ray, you're on the mic.
So I just had something, it's kind of big actually. Dan shared with me this week that he had a very bad witness when I spoke, and so did many other people. When I said, you know, like, Father showed me this, Father told me this, etc. And so I was very concerned because he said he felt that it was another spirit, and so I was really in prayer. Well, I wasn't sure, you know, because if it was another spirit, then I didn't want to be praying to the wrong one, the wrong Jesus. And so I, well, what Dan encouraged me to do is establish a deeper relationship with Jesus. And so then I, you know, responded and said that the reason that I guess say Father is, or said Father, I don't do that anymore, was because I know that I'm a son of God and etc. I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And then Dan shared with me that he felt that I was walking in presumption and pride, and I see that. Definitely got a witness to that. Because I also had a bad witness when I spoke and said Father, which was, but I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know why. So I learned something there. Take every bad witness that I get to the Lord and see what it's about and do something about it. So I also came, the reason I also said Father was because I didn't really have a dad. And so that was really a big thing for me, to have a father. But I see that I was attributing the relationships that I had with Jesus to God. And God never came to earth as human, and he deserves more respect and more reverence than what I was giving to him. And I see that, saw that as very wrong, and that opens the door. If I did not leave, that would have opened the door for religious spirits to come. And I'm still going to keep asking the Lord to show me if I'm under religious spirits or at, you know, any point. So I repented of that pride, and I just want to confess that to you all. And I'm so glad, so glad that so far it's not a religious spirit, because as Dan says, it's, you can't get free of the religious spirit easily because you don't know the difference. And so I'm so thankful that it was not. And I'm so thankful, Dan, that you shared what you did with me. And bless you, brother, so much. I'm very glad to get free of that pride. I had been asking the Lord to get remove all pride from me. So that was the answer to prayer. So that was it. Thank you again, Dan, and I hope everyone's doing well.
Thank you for sharing that, Jenna. God bless you. You just keep pressing in the Lord, and you ask him to deliver from anything that's wrong, and be willing to change, and repent, and he'll take care of you. Don't worry. He'll lead you and guide you. I'm very glad you were able to accept the truth, and you had enough humility to be corrected in love. Thank you. God is good. And the only time he corrects us, the only reason he corrects us, is because he loves us. And he wants us to attain the fullness of what he has for us, what Jesus purchased for us at the cross. As long as we keep a humble attitude and keep that kind of mindset, he's only correct us for his own good. He's only disciplined us for our own good, for our eternal good. Then we'll be able to take the chastisements when it comes in love, or when it comes in, you know, wrath or whatever. Amen. Anybody else before we start off tonight? I have something on Israel I'm going to speak about tonight. Not the current political situation, but something just about Israel in general. I'll tell you about it when I start, but I was going to sing a song. I'm not going to put the words up because I already sang it once. You may remember it, you may not. I'm just going to sing it quick. It's called The Seed of Abraham, because we are the seed of Abraham in every way. All the promises are ours, natural, spiritual, geographical, everything. Everything that God promised Abraham belongs to us if we're in Christ. The seed of Abraham, that's who I am, risen from the dead unto his life. No longer a slave, brought up from the grave, a stranger and a pilgrim in this world that I live in. The seed of Abraham, that's who I am. The Lord called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees, said, go up to a land that I will show. I'll multiply your seed and meet your every need. I'll make you the father of the faithful and the pure, and blessing I will bless you, Abraham. Now separate thyself, my son Abraham. Consider not the deadness of the womb, for Sarah shall bring forth a son to bear thy name. All the families of the earth shall be blessed because of thee. Stagger not at the promise, Abraham. The seed of Abraham, that's who I am, risen from the dead unto his life. Slave, brought up from the grave, a stranger and a pilgrim in this world that I live in. The seed of Abraham, that's who I am. Now take thine only son of Moriah, Abraham, and give him back to me upon the fire. His body's dead, I'll raise him up again. The resurrection that I bring will show him as a son of God and conquer death forever, Abraham. The seed of Abraham, who I am, risen from the dead unto his life. Brought up from the grave, a stranger and a pilgrim in this world that I live in. The seed of Abraham, that's who I am. One more time. The seed of Abraham, that's who I am, risen from the dead unto his life. No longer a slave, from the grave, a stranger and a pilgrim in this world that I live in. The seed of Abraham, that's who I am. Amen. Amen. All righty. Thank you, Irma. Okay, well, I really didn't have anything to share this week. Nothing was on my heart all week long. Until yesterday morning, I got an email from a guy named Robert Bineau. He's French. I had an email discussion with this guy back in 2007 regarding my view of national Israel. He thinks, he thought back then, still thinks, that anyone who supports the Jews or the Jewish state of Israel is a deceived dispensationalist. And Mr. Bonneau had listened back then in 2007, he had listened to a recording I put up on my website at that time, and he felt it was his duty to correct my gross error. And the recording was an interview I had given to Tamar Yonah. Tamar Yonah is a Jewish radio hostess who has a radio show in Israel on Israel National Radio. And when we were over there that one year, she had interviewed me on her show as a Christian who loves and supports Israel. And during that interview, I said that we encourage the Jews to fight for the land God has given them. And Mr. Bonneau heard that. And I don't know if he misunderstood my comments about fighting to keep the land God had given them, or if he truly thinks God wants the Israelis not to defend themselves when they're attacked, so the surrounding nations can carry out their desire to slaughter every Jew in that whole area. But when I said to Tamar, we believe the Jews should fight to keep the land God's given them, I didn't mean that they should invade their neighboring Arab states and take their land. I simply meant that they should defend the land that they had won during the four or five defensive wars they had fought, all of which were started by those Arabs. All right. At any rate, my comments about the Jews fighting to keep the land irritated this guy, because those kind of comments don't only go against his view of the Jews in general, they go against his view of Christianity. And while corresponding with me about this whole issue, he also wrote a mutual friend of ours and tried to convince that friend that I was teaching gross error. But my friend rejected his proof that I was deceived and rebuked him. He told me he was misjudging me over a single point. And Mr. Bonneau's response to that rebuke was the following. Quote, I really do not think you or Dan know my real beef with the recording on his site. You couldn't possibly think that a Christian should encourage a secular state to go to war for the purpose of land. Are not Christians to be peacemakers? This is no simple disagreement, is it? And I have not judged the entire man as you think. So his main problem with me was I was encouraging the Jews to fight to keep the land. That's unchristian. And you'll find this idea is a basis of a lot of the argument anti-Israel Christians use. The idea is that since Israel is a secular state, since the Jews are still in unbelief, they don't deserve the support of Christians. Christians are not supposed to support or get involved with politically pagan nations, pagan people, including the secular nation of Israel. And of course, Christians should never support war, whether it's a defensive war or in a war of aggression, doesn't matter. That's why he said about this comment was, it's wrong for Christians to encourage a secular state to go to war for the purpose of land. Now, after Mr. Bonneau emailed me and told me how deceived I was for thinking the Jews are still special, or for thinking that the current state of Israel had anything to do with the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, or for supporting a secular political state, I wrote him a long email using plenty of scripture. It was very nice to clarify my position, okay? Unfortunately, he rejected everything I wrote to him, but he wanted to keep debating the issue. And once it became clear that he would not listen to anything I said, but he just wanted to continue to correct me, I wrote him an email, and basically, I said he was a religious nutcase, and I ended the conversation. So I haven't heard from him since then, until recently. And apparently, he has started a blog talk radio show, and he keeps sending out invitations every week by email in order to get more and more people to tune into that show. And for some reason, he put me on that list. And the current subject of his blog talk show is Israel. Also, he wrote an article about his view of Israel and posted it on his website, and he sent that link to everybody on this list. So I got one. So it just so happens that earlier this week, I ran across another article by regarding Israel by a Baptist minister who uses similar arguments to convince Christians they should not support current Jewish state on a political level. And of course, that's par for the course for a lot of Christians nowadays. So that doesn't get me too upset. But the thing that got my attention was the fact that this article was posted on a website whose owner claims to be pro-Israel. And that did upset me, because I can't stand liars and hypocrites. And by posting such an article on the site, this guy who runs that site is demonstrating his hypocrisy and the deceitful way he operates. Anyway, the name of the article was Israel, an Evangelical Idol. Israel, an Evangelical Idol. And the guy who wrote the article is a pastor named Rick Frey. Now, since the article from this pastor and the one from Mr. Bonneau were filled with deception and lies, and since I didn't really have anything on my heart to share, I thought I would take the opportunity this week, and maybe even next week too, to demonstrate how easy it is for seducing spirits to use the scripture to warp the minds of God's people regarding the subject of Israel and the Jews. Okay, so we're going to talk about some of the stuff that I saw written in these articles. We're going to start with Mr. Frey's article first. And he begins his article by saying this. He begins by saying, quote, "I believe that God has a plan for the Jewish people in the future. All those who believe in Jesus at the end will be saved. And it appears as though Scripture gives us a hint at such a coming event. And that event just may be a fulfillment of a divine covenant. Until then, the secular nation called Israel should be left to God and not become a rallying point for Christians." That's how he starts it out. When you read this, if you have spiritual ears or eyes, you're going to recognize the voice of the serpent right away. Because this guy is saying the same thing the serpent said to Eve 6,000 years ago. He's saying, "Hath God said." Okay, I want you to notice the way he phrases those words. He said, "It appears as though the scripture gives us a hint that such a coming event just may be a fulfillment of divine covenant." All right? And I say, sorry, Mr. Frey. It doesn't just appear that the scripture gives us a hint that such an event might take place. You know, it tells us directly and very frankly that such an event will take place. Romans 11, verses 12 and 15, and Romans 11, verses 25 to 26, tells us exactly what is going to happen, or at least generally. Paul says in 11, 12 through 15, "Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles as much as I am an apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I might provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead?" And he goes on to verse 25 and 26 to say, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and so all Israel shall be saved. As is written, there shall come out of Zion a deliverer, and he shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob." Now, when you read those passages, it's very clear that the them, the group called them, Paul is referring to, are the physical, literal descendants of Abraham, the nation of Israel. The fall of them, that is the Jews, and the diminishing of them, that is the Jews, is contrasted with their fullness. Same people. The casting away of them is contrasted with the receiving of them at some point. All right, same people. Paul's talking about natural Jews. Okay? He goes on to say that blindness in part has befallen Israel, national Israel, until a certain point in time regarding God's going to restore them somehow. And regardless of how you define that point in time, the idea is clear. The Jewish nation, the Jewish people are now blind, who are now in unbelief. They will remain in that condition until a certain point in God's redemptive plan. Then all Israel shall be saved, because the deliverer will turn away ungodliness from Jacob. Jacob is a specific reference to the ethnic Jews. Paul doesn't say he's going to turn all ungodliness away from the church. Jacob is a specific reference to ethnic Jews. Now, Mr. Frew also says that until the time comes when the Jews turn to Jesus, the secular state of Israel should be left to God and not become a rallying point for Christians. In other words, Christians should not be least bit interested in what happens to the Jews over there in Israel. None of our business. And I said, well, how can somebody say that and read Romans, the book of Romans, especially chapter 11? This is what Paul said in 11, 29 through 31. He says, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their," that is the Jews, "unbelief. Even so, these also," that is the Jews, "have now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy." And he didn't say through your preaching the gospel they may obtain mercy. He said through your mercy they may obtain mercy. I'm not saying we shouldn't preach the gospel. We should. But that's not what his point was. His point was not everybody go preach the gospel to the Jews. He said show them mercy. That's what Paul wanted from us, Gentiles, to show his kinsmen after the flesh, unbelieving Jews, mercy. See, it's important we understand what Paul actually taught regarding the attitude Gentile believers should have towards unbelieving Jews. I want you to notice that it was through Israel's unbelief in Jesus that we Gentiles received mercy from God. The Jews didn't show us mercy. We didn't receive mercy from God because they showed us mercy. They showed us contempt. Most of the time they view us as unclean animals. It was the attitude of the Jews towards God and his Messiah that brought us mercy. But when it comes to them being shown mercy, the situation is much different. It's not through our faith or unbelief towards God or his Messiah that the Jews will obtain mercy. It's through our mercy to them, our direct mercy to them, that they are to obtain mercy. Paul's saying that we are to show the unbelieving Jews mercy regardless of their present spiritual conditions. Very clear. Now, if Paul had only asked us to love, quote, love the Jewish people, we might have an excuse to remain isolated from them, as Mr. Frey says we should do. See, you don't have to really get too involved with someone in order to love them. You can love people from a very safe distance. But in order to show someone mercy, that's a whole different term, mercy. In order to show someone mercy, you have to take an interest in them. You have to care about their welfare. In other words, in order to remain detached from the Jewish people, as Mr. Frey says we should, you have to intentionally ignore the heart cry of the Apostle Paul, which was that saved Gentiles would have mercy on his kinsmen according to flesh. Not that they would continue to preach the gospel to them, that they would have mercy on them. All right? Romans 11:28 says this, as concerning the gospel, they, the Jews, are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts in the calling of God are without repentance. All right, Paul also said that unbelieving Jews are the enemies of the gospel for our sakes. That means they were broken off the good olive tree in order to make room for us. But concerning their election, they are still beloved for the Father's sakes. That means, for the sake of the patriarchs, God still loves them. Now, we've often heard people quote Romans 11:29 in all kinds of different contexts. Many times they talk about it with regard to gifts. God, if God gives you a gift of prophecy, a tongues, a gift of this, he doesn't take it back when you start singing or anything like that. But very few times we ever heard this thing quoted in context. The context of the Jewish people. The context of that statement is the election of the Jewish people. The gifts and calling of the Jewish people are without repentance. For Abraham's sake, God still loves them. He doesn't just love them like he loves the whole world, so that he gave his only begotten son for the sins of the world. He has a special love for the Jews, for the Father's sakes, even in their unbelief.